need to be green.
Oh, it's green. Should I start over? No. Hello, checking, sound check. Sorry, everyone went at home. All right, so not asynchronous. So you move this to a separate thread, and then there's a way for one thread to communicate with the event loop. You know, something happened. We did this change in GDB more recently in GDB 13. Before that, the debugger really blocked. Like, you continued the execution, you couldn't do anything else until the inferior stopped. So that was something that was upgraded in GDB 13. So now, I'll skip the slide. So now in GDB 13, this is something that's more important to IDEs, that the IDE, you can press a continue button, the inferior is now executing, but the IDE at the same time now can execute GDB commands like disassemble or install a new breakpoint, search symbols, things like that. Now it can do that while the inferior is running. Well, before it couldn't. The IDE would have to stop the whole program and then do something. Going back, this other function, the counterpart of the waiting for an event, is when you continue the event, you have this argument here, this parameter, where as argument you can pass either one of these two macros. And this is basically, like in GDB, when you get a signal, and then you can decide to pass the signal to the inferior or not. You can suppress it or pass it. So when you pass it, it calls the signal handler in the inferior. There's something like that on Windows. Not that important, but it's similar enough. But they call it exceptions, not signals. And this function here, you decide whether to suppress the exception or not. Will the inferior continue processing the exception, or will it be suppressed? And it's important to know that you do this decision when you call this function. All right, I mentioned this already. All right, keep that in mind. So this is very basically how the debugger internally works. OSOP mode is the default mode in GDB, how everything works, how everyone knows how it works. So here we have five threads. This is time. Time period one, everything is running, runnable. And then T3 is about to hit an exception. So it hits an exception, and you're calling wait for debug event. It returns saying an event happens, and the kernel freezes everything in the process. All threads are yellow, means they're frozen. And this one got an exception. At this point, the user is now inspecting the program, debugging the actual bug, reading memory, backtracing, blah, blah. And finally, they decide to resume execution. And then that's when GDB calls this continue debug event, and then passes that decision of whether to suppress exception or not. So it's late. It's here. And then all threads go back to being runnable again. That is if you want everything to be running or stop and then everything running again. There are times where you'll want to only resume one thread and leave everything else suspended, frozen. Internally, GDB needs to do this, like to step over a breakpoint. But the user may also want to focus on a particular thread, leaving every other frozen. And we do that, the user interface is to enable this setting. This doesn't work currently upstream, even though internally everything works, because GDB needs to know how to step over a breakpoint, but it's never been exposed to the user. Nobody wired up this to the backend code, so I did a little change in my work, and it actually works. So it's the same as before. The exception triggers, user inspects the program, and then decides to resume T1 instead of T3, and GDB suspends everything else and then calls continue debug event for T3, because that's where the event came from. And now T1 is runnable. But what if you want to do the converse, which is instead of running one and stopping everything else, you want to stop one but leave everything else running? That's what's called the non-stop mode. And this is what I wanted to make possible in Windows, because this is supported on Linux since 2008. I know because I worked on that. So a long time by now. And also supported on remote targets, meaning GDB server for Linux, but also some other embedded systems out there, they support this mode as well. But native Windows debugging does not support this. So non-stop mode means only the event, the breakpoint, reports a stop to the user, and everything else continues running. This is interesting, again, mostly for IDEs. You can imagine a big list of threads, and then only one of them reports an event. But it's also interesting because maybe one of the threads is important to keep running because maybe it's a watchdog or something that needs to ping a server. And if it stops pinging, the program doesn't work. There's something on the other end that needs to see this while you inspect some kind of debugging triggered by some thread. And the reason I thought all over these years that Windows wouldn't work for this is that, well, they have this problem. Wait for the bug event, that magic function returns the event, suspends everything already. The kernel already does this. There's no way to tell the kernel, do not suspend every thread except the one that got the event. And we want to leave them running. So, naively, I thought, maybe just immediately suspend, block, freeze the thread that you care about, and call continue debug event, right? But you can't, because this is too early. We just got the event. The user hasn't yet decided whether to pass or not the exception. That only happens after. And I was looking up this past year, and I noticed on the Microsoft website describing these APIs that they introduced a new flag to continue debug event. And I read this, and I was like, really? It's like they wrote this just for me. Hey, they're awesome. Well, it's not the ideal thing that I would like. I would like to have a way that the kernel doesn't freeze everything, still freezes everything. But what they do is, if you pass this flag, what you're saying is, I got the event. OK, cool. But I don't want to handle it right now. But I call continue. And I'm asking the kernel, report the event again as soon as the thread becomes runnable. So what I do is I call suspend thread on a thread that got the event, so it's no longer runnable. I call this continue the debug event function saying, get me back the same event again once I become make the thread runnable. That's what it's saying here, well, in other words. How does this actually work in practice using the same diagram I showed before? I prototyped this quickly with a hack, and it worked. Amazing. Now I just need to make it clean, and of course that's a whole separate, sorry. So same as before, everything is runnable. T3 is about to raise an exception. It raises an exception. The kernel freezes everything. There's nothing I can do to control this. And then I freeze the thread that got an event. And then I call this function with this new magic macro. And that GDB remembers that T3 will get a repeated event later. Now the user is inspecting the thread, but everything else is running now, right? So the kernel paused all the threads, but I immediately told the kernel, we resume everything else. So there will be a small freeze, there will be increased jitter caused by the debugger, but most of the time, whole threads will be running. And then later, the user decides to re-resume T3, and the debugger just calls resume thread, unfreeze the thread, and remember, now the kernel, because the thread is now runnable, is going to re-report the event. And because we recorded earlier that we will get a new repeated event, the debugger knows, okay, it's a repeated event. I know I need to call continue debug event with the proper flag saying suppress the event or not, the exception or not. And a colleague of mine wondered, does this work when multiple threads hit the breakpoint before you decide to resume? Yes, it does work. Same thing as before, and here you're looking at this thread, and this one raises an exception. Everything works. You can look at this offline if you want to. There's a lot more to this. The hacky version works now. I need to make it clean, and that, I stumbled on a lot of things that I don't have time to go over right now. I'm going to touch a little bit on the test suite. How much time do I have, Dodgy?
3 minutes.
Plus five. Yeah, okay. All right, so I put this in the abstract. The reason is when I talk about the test suite, I need to make this distinction. And when I say GDB on Windows, there are actually two ports for Windows. There's GDB compiled as a SIGWIN program, and there's GDB compiled with the MinGW toolchain, which means it's a native Windows program. SIGWIN, for those who don't know, it's gives you a POSIX environment. It's a collection of tools, but it's also a runtime, a DLL that every tool is linked with. And this runtime provides you POSIX things like signals, PDYs, and a bunch of stuff. The C runtime that's used is not the one that comes with Windows normally. It's based on newlib. It tries to be as close as a Linux environment is, so that you can recompile your application, a Linux application, and with minimal changes, quote unquote, it works. So it's not an emulator. You have to recompile your program. Right, so the core of GDB has two ports, like the event loop, for example, is based on select slash pull for most Unix machines ports, and Cygwin is one of those. But the native version of GDB for Windows, based on MinGW, has a separate event loop based on this wait for multiple objects function, which is the Microsoft version of select. Right, but the backend, the code that talks with the debug API, those functions I mentioned before, it's shared between both ports. It's the same code, except for Cygwin, there's extra magic to make some Cygwin-specific things work. And this is where I get to the test suite, because part of making this work and upstreamable, and I will get to a point where I was, you know, sure that I wasn't breaking things, because this making this work involved revamping the backend very substantially. So I want to make sure that I wasn't breaking things. So run the test suite, right? Except running a test suite on Windows is a major pain in the... the test suite is... GDB test suite is built on DejaGNU. And DejaGNU is an infrastructure built on Expect. And Expect itself is built on TCL, which is a programming language. And DejaGNU assumes a Unix-like environment, which you don't have on Windows normally. You know, assumes POSIX shells and utilities, kill, CPE, move. And there is no native Expect port. There was a company, ActiveState, that had something like that, but they killed that project some years ago. So you have to use something that's Unix-like to run DejaGNU. If you test Cygwin GDB on a Cygwin environment, you just run makecheck. It does work. It's super slow. Not stable, but it does work. But if you want to make native Windows GDB, you test that, it's not the same thing. It's a proxy, but it's not the same thing. Remember I said that the core of GDB is different code paths. So I would want to be able to test this guy as well, MinGW GDB. How about we run the test suite, DejaGNU under Cygwin, but make it spawn the Windows GDB? Yeah, that's a potential idea, but the problem is it's a Cygwin expect, it's spawning a Windows process, and the input and output is going to be connected to a PTY from the Cygwin side, but what the Windows GDB sees is just a pipe. And when GDB is connected to a pipe, because that's how Cygwin PTYs work under the hood, it's a pipe, GDB is connected to a pipe, it's not what's called an isATTY, so it disables everything that's interactive. So in the test suite, like, completely falls down. And something else is that the DejaGNU, because it is expecting that the inferior is being run under a PTY, so there will be terminal mode controls. Time's up. But I have the five?
Yeah.
Okay. Because
well, I'll sell you 5 more minutes.
I give you mine.
I'm almost over. Just 30 more slides. No, just one more. right, so there are some ideas to get this working. There's also path mapping issues, because what Expect sees path-wise, you know, slash C drive slash X is not the same that GDB sees, because it's a native program, so it sees X colon, you know. And another problem is that the GDB test suite, when it wants to test multi-threaded things, the tests are all written with pthreads, which is not something native to Windows. Even though MinGW W64 does have the WinPthreads library, so maybe you could use that. I have some ideas to try to make this work, but I haven't had the time to actually experiment much with this. I tried other things that I thought would be interesting, but they didn't work. The test suite, compiling on, right, so about compilation, just if anyone here is motivated by this talk and wants to help. compiling GDB on Cygwin is super slow, so the way to get that I got around it is to cross-compile. And yeah, some things here you can do. And then I can cross-compile to Cygwin, but to run the test suite, I need to run it inside Windows. I can't avoid that. But I can point GDB in, the test suite inside Windows, pointed to the built GDB that I built on Cygwin, on Linux. All right, so maybe I should skip. Yeah, so test suite bad, need to fix a lot of things. That's the thing. PDB, it's the native. Yeah, this is the things that it's for the future. Make it possible for GDB to debug programs compiled with Visual Studio. That is something that is missing. It's making people not use GDB on Windows, and I would prefer people not to think about using other tools. You know, stay in our lane. So at some point, I would like to work on this, but yeah, no time for that. Just leave it on the screen if people have questions and have like maybe one question. No? Nothing. All right. Thank you. So.
Okay, actually, there is 1 minute left.
Is there one quick question?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my question.
Oh, no.
Have you tried using Python to run test suite?
I have.
GDB execute and stuff.
That would be writing a new test suite.
Yeah, basically.
I know there's actually some people that do that, some companies, but I want to find a way that you can run the existing tests
okay.
before, you know, giving up completely.
Okay.